Welcome all sports fans. On this podcast,
no sport is left behind.
I'm Justin Williams.
I'm Cabrera Duran, and this is our brother from Down Under,
me, Wallace Bruce.
We are the Pro Sports Podcasters,
filling you in on the latest news from the world of sports.
On this episode, me and Justin talk a little bit about what's going on in the world of rugby. We talk about its origins as well as its expansion into North America. We now have the MLR, Major League Rugby, and as a bonus, we get to talk with one of its players, Harrison Goddard from Australia, who plays for the LA Giltinis, and what it feels like to play rugby in North America. Let's get right into it.
What's your understanding of the difference between rugby and rugby league?
The difference between rugby and rugby league?
Yes.
Didn't know there was a difference. Teach me.
Right, so this is very important, very, very important. So the sport of rugby was invented in Wales. Shout out to Wales.
What up, Wales?
There's a gentleman by the name of William Webb Ellis. So everyone's playing soccer one day. This is back in the 1800s. And then for whatever reason, Billy decided to pick up the ball and run with it. And that's how the sport of rugby was created. Is that a school called rugby, by the way? Is that rugby school? That's how the game got its name.
Mm-hmm.
And then the game developed from that. It was an amateur game. So it was a game that was typically played in your private schools, and it was amateur. You didn't get paid to play rugby. So fast forward to the late 1800s, early 1900s, and rugby players are wanting to get paid. They're saying, we're doing a good thing. We're pretty good at this. We should get some money. That reminds me of something else, but I'm not going to bring that up on air. So there's an Australian by the name of Dally Messenger. He was playing rugby union. I believe he represented Australia in rugby union.
Right.
And he just had enough. He said, I'm not having this. I'm going to make sure that the guys around me and myself are going to get paid to play rugby. So he started his own sport. Well, he helped to start rugby league. So rugby league, that was the professional version of rugby, because as the name suggests, it was a more organized form of the game. And it was played amongst workers, and companies would pay them to play.
Oh, okay.
Rugby league has 13 players on the field.
Mm-hmm.
Rugby union, the game which you typically has the name rugby, has 15 players on the field. Now, believe it or not, rugby union remained amateur throughout. Even despite rugby league breaking away, rugby union remained amateur right up until, wait for it, when were you born, Justin?
94.
Wow. This is funny. That was actually when rugby union became a professional sport.
Well, I'm glad I could help.
Yeah, 94 was obviously a good year. So what happened was Rupert Murdoch, you may have heard of that guy. He dragged the sport into the professional age. He wanted a competition that was played with the best of the best in the game. He didn't want to see players doing other things during the week. He wanted them to just play rugby because he wanted to make money off. He wanted a good quality product. So he put together the TV rights deal for a competition in Australia, New Zealand, and South Africa. And then from there, those countries became the strongest at rugby because there was more investment in the game, development was quicker.
So why those three specifically? Because in my mind, I'm looking at this going, this is a very small kind of deal. Like, people know about it, but it's not a global sensation as until 1994. But then why those? Why leave America out of this? You know, like
Murdoch, despite owning News Corporation and Fox and all that and being the global magnate that he is,
mm-hmm.
he's still Australian. So I guess he wanted to build it out of that region because that's where the game was biggest. And South Africa, the game was also quite big there, but because of the international exclusion, they were slowly coming back into the fold in around 94. So they started there, first off. North America, the game has only really come out here. Now, this is the beauty of the Major League Rugby, which we're going to get into.
Mm-hmm.
Because the game is starting to expand. The game has also had a presence in Europe. It's always had a presence in the UK, France as well. Italy's taking it on a little bit more now. But there was a divide. There was always the divide between the Northern Hemisphere and the Southern Hemisphere in terms of rugby union. So those were the strongholds. And then Canada, through, I guess, European migration and the college players and the US as well, there's been the growth there. But the growth has always been at a collegiate level.
All right.
Nowadays, we have Major League Rugby.
Mm-hmm.
the game is starting to grow. It's starting to see players come across here. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, North America wants to have a crack at the Rugby World Cup in the future. They want to host it.
Mm-hmm.
These are good times for rugby in North America. And you asked about the growth of the game here. I feel like the limitations would have been the fact that you had Canadian football, American football. It's hard to get players to learn a new sport when they've been playing a sport that they've grown up with. But rugby is still growing despite that.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know, Justin, that the Rugby World Cup is the third biggest event in the world?
I actually did not know that, Nii.
It is third largest in the world behind the FIFA World Cup, which is number one, obviously, Summer Olympics.
Oh, I was going to say cricket.
Now, cricket is big in terms of participation and global ratings. Shout out to India, by the way. We may not see you out there in India, but we hear you, and we see that you're listening to us.
We love you, India.
We appreciate your support. Just getting back to rugby for a second. Union is growing here. Rugby league is also grew a little bit. Toronto's a good example because Toronto has a rugby union team in the Arrows, which you know, and they had a team in rugby league in the Wolfpack. So they were playing in England. They were playing in the English competition.
Right.
But due to the limitations around the pandemic and travel and all that funky stuff, they're on a bit of a pause right now. It's going to be wait and see to see what happens to them in the future.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that is a very, very quick snapshot of rugby and how it came about, the difference between rugby and rugby league. There's more differences, but I don't want to overload you today. I don't want to put you in that situation.
Thank you. I was going to say, because all I know about the Toronto Wolfpack is the last I saw them, they had been promoted to the first division.
Mm-hmm. The Super League.
Yep. And I don't know if they are still there.
So yeah, as I said, because of the limitations around COVID last year, they weren't able to play out the season. They would usually start the season in England because of the weather in Canada. And when the sun comes out over on this side of the world, on this side of the pond, they would come back and play their home games. Most of their home games, and finish off the season that way. So, yeah, it'd be interesting to see what happens to them in the future. But in the meantime, if you live in Toronto, there's the Arrows, and if you live in North America, there's Major League Rugby. And we are 3 or 4 weeks into the season. So, exciting times. Exciting times indeed for the game. Los Angeles is significant because they have guys who play for the Wallabies, the Australian national rugby team. Guys like Dave Dennis, Matt Gitto, Adam Ashley Cooper. These are household names in world rugby, and also a gentleman by the name of Harrison Goddard. So Harrison Goddard played for the Australian Sevens team. He also played Super Rugby in Australia for Melbourne and New South Wales, and he'll be joining us. So it'd be good to hear from him, just not only as a rugby player, but also a rugby player that's moved across the world to play the game. It's crazy times that we're in, but he's been able to do that. So really interesting to hear how they've been getting on as a franchise. They're currently top of the table. They're undefeated after the 3 games they've played. So, yeah, well, for me, it's exciting seeing this competition grow and continue to grow. I hope that, as a local bias, that Toronto does well and gets better. I feel like they will. But overall, this is great for the game. And the big winners, it's rugby in North America as a whole. And I feel like the U.S. and Canada will be better for it as well when it comes to the Rugby World Cup.
Check out the show notes for additional information on today's podcast, as well as links to our social medias and a link to the Pro Sports Podcasters website. It's the first link on the list where you can find the email sign up. Be the first to know about upcoming special events, as well as qualify for the giveaways with the Pro Sports Podcasters.
Thanks for listening, and be sure to join the Pro Sports Podcasters Facebook group where you will be able to interact with the hosts and talk to other sports fans. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to the show. It's your guy, NWB. I am joined, as always, by the one and only Justin Williams.
Hey, you remembered me this time. Last time we had an Aussie on, you forgot about me.
Hey, it's not often we have Aussies on the show, right? Let it go. As Justin has alluded to, we have a special guest hailing from Down Under. He is a winner of the Shoot Shield competition in New South Wales with Gordon Rugby. And he represented Australia in schoolboys rugby. He's also played for the Sevens team. And he represented the Melbourne Rebels in Super Rugby competition. He is now on the West Coast, some say the best coast, playing with the LA Giltinis. It is the one, the only, Harrison Goddard. How you doing?
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me. I'm going good. Loving it here.
Good stuff. Now, mate, you've been in LA for a little bit now, a short time, but still a good time. What's it like playing for the Giltinis?
Oh, it's pretty good. It's pretty awesome. When I first heard about the LA team, I thought, wow, that's unreal. It's been an awesome opportunity. There's so many good players here, learning every day. But yeah, to be based in LA, learning a new culture and people and playing rugby since I was playing four, love of the game has been, yeah, it's pretty cool experience so far.
Now, boss, can you tell us about how you got this call-up? Were you just sitting at home one day and then your phone rings and your agent's like, crikey, we're going?
Crikey. Nah, yeah, so I was fortunate enough to be playing under Darren Coleman in Gordon, back at home in Sydney, in the Shoot Shield. So he got the role as head coach, and I think early in the year, in around April. So I'd just come back from Melbourne the year before, and I was pretty much playing to play for a contract that year. And yeah, I was lucky enough to perform reasonably well, and yeah, he sort of just kept me in the loop throughout the season and offered me this position.
Awesome. Since you got here, what's your feeling on the league? The league, I believe, has been around for 3 or 4 years. It's grown as well.
Yeah.
What's that been like?
That's been good. I've been watching. I've got a few friends that have been playing here since it started. I've been keeping a close eye on it since, you know, when it started. So the first three games, I think it's been pretty good. It's a pretty good level. I think it can be a bit faster, but it's very it can be physical. Like last week against Toronto was pretty physical. It's probably the most physical game we've had.
Mm.
But I think it's going to go even higher. I think it's going to go up and up, the quality of players that have come through. And it's all about the, you know, getting the name out there, MLR, and attracting players. But yeah, for me, I think it's a pretty good level, especially for quality young US players coming through to learn as well and get more involved. So I think it's going to be a pretty good concept of the MLR in future years.
Now, you had talked about kind of the MLR brand and expanding it. How are you guys doing that with COVID right now?
As a team, LA, or just in general, like MLR?
Well, as just LA, because you guys are a new team. So are you guys hooking up with the Galaxy or something?
No, we haven't yet. That'd be pretty cool. Not too much. We're trying to, next week, our home game is our first time we're allowed fans back. So we're allowed 20% or something of the Coliseum. Luckily, that holds 70,000 or so, which is pretty good. So yeah, I think it's all about trying to market it right. And I think it's the first sport that we're going to be live for people to come in to watch. So I think, yeah, as LA, it's been a bit hard with COVID, been pretty bad cases over here. But I think as a team, we've been pretty lucky to be in a tight bubble, not necessarily a bubble, but being close together. And when we're allowed out to do stuff, we're having fun. But I think next week's going to be a good showcase for the fans to get them involved and spread the message of rugby and try and get more people in.
Yeah, spread the good word of rugby, no doubt.
Yeah.
Now, we're in Toronto. I should point that out, the two of us. And
yep.
I noticed with the Arrows, when they came on board, the game is marketed, and it was marketed very well.
Okay.
It's just a great day out for the fans, because I imagine it's the same in LA, but you've got the game on and people are hitting each other without pads. Because rugby,
yeah,
as you know, they tackle properly, call it the way it is. But also in the stands, there's craft beers going on and there's all sorts of refreshments. Yeah. So it's really a great day out for the fans, no doubt. Now, would you say the pitch at the Coliseum is the best you've ever played on? Or is there a better pitch in the world?
Nah, hands down, that's probably the best. Yeah, it's, I don't know, it's just like, it's so fast and it's just cut really nice. Yeah, it feels like you're running on air, really.
Yeah.
You don't need studs. I've played in studs the first game, and yeah, I'm probably going to switch back to just the mold, because it's just easier on the feet and you can get around a bit quicker on it.
Right.
So moving forward with Major League Rugby, as we're talking about trying to build the brand and promotion along with your style of game, I suspect in LA that this would eventually grow to become something really big, and just like at LA Clipper games and Lakers games, they have bigger celebrities come through. But do you guys know if you're going to have any big guys like LeBron James come through, Or I feel like it'd be cool if you guys did.
That'd be cool, wouldn't it? Nah, nothing's been said yet, but yeah, that's what we want to do, isn't it? Like, we want to try and get it out there. I think our owner, Gilly, he's partnered with Mark Wahlberg in the F45 gym, so it's all about connections. So hopefully he could come out, or, you know, shoot a text message to one of his actors or whatever to try and come out. And even that, yeah, come and watch the game and, as I said, spread the word of rugby in LA. I think it would be pretty cool. But nothing's been said yet. Nah. I'd love to go to an NBA game. Jeez, I'm dying for it. I haven't been to an NBA game. It's my first time in the States. So, yeah, it'd be pretty cool.
Yes.
I wouldn't be surprised if you're, you know, you have LeBron James sitting at, you know, pitch side at your game, and then you're court side at his place, and you're back at a mansion.
Yeah, imagine that. Yeah. Have to get him out to a few kicks.
Well, Kawhi Leonard was staying at Drake's place, wasn't he? Back in the day?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Good old Kawhi.
When Kawhi was playing for Toronto and he was deciding between the Clippers and the Raptors, Drake let him fly over to LA to stay in his mansion while he thought about it. And then
yeah.
On Friday night, he just says, oh, I'm going to dip.
There you go. He's got enough bedrooms in his house anyway, Drake.
Yeah, exactly. It's all good.
Drake has a mattress brand that sells for $8,000. Just take that in.
Wow.
Yo, if I'm spending $8,000 on a mattress, I better get my 8 hours of sleep in 5 minutes.
Do you have a favorite NBA team, Harrison?
I like Portland. My top two are probably Portland and Celtics. But I don't know, it might change living in LA. But I've always liked Portland.
Nice.
Yeah.
Just randomly enjoyed Portland.
It was my first. I was 14 and I got my first snapback in City Beach in Australia from a shop, and it was the Portland logo. So I just thought I'd stick strong to that.
Yeah. I remember City Beach. I still got some board shorts from there.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Nice. So, Harrison, you played sevens for Australia and we're in an Olympic year. So I got to ask, do you see yourself playing in Tokyo?
It'd be pretty cool, wouldn't it? Nah, I don't know. My commitment is here in LA, so I think it's probably a bit late for that. I think 15s is where I'm at, like where I want to be and accomplish more by the moment. But when's the Olympic Games? What month is that in?
July, yeah.
Yeah, so we'll probably still be playing here. And they've got a good squad there anyway. So I just probably want to be focused on the 15s game a bit more, and then we'll see what happens after that. But yeah, it was a pretty cool experience playing in the sevens. The only one was in Hong Kong, so some say it's the best one. And yeah, it was an awesome experience. I loved every minute of it, even though the fitness and that was a bit of a shock, but it was good. Like the crowd and the atmosphere when you run out is probably something I'll remember for the rest of my life, really.
Yeah. And just to help us, help our listeners out, how would you describe the difference between sevens rugby and 15s rugby?
Completely different. Like, just the style of play. You only get, so in sevens you play 7 minute halves and two halves, compared to 15s is 40 minutes, seven players on a pitch. And it's pretty much just, in sevens there's a lot more space. You have to defend the same field, which I think about 75 meters wide, seven players. So, and you're pretty much working like threes. So if you get tackled, you got to get two to a breakdown or a ruck, and then that person clears it out. So you're only playing really with four attackers in a 75 meter wide space. So it tests your lungs a lot, and you got to be pretty fast and fit to get around the pitch.
Yeah, that's good. That's a good explanation, because I was trying to explain it to someone the other day, and
yeah,
I thought, you know what, I'm gonna ask a professional. And here you are.
Yeah, it's a good sport. It's awesome. Like, it's just creates more attacking. That's what it is. Like, it's a entertainment game. That's why crowds love it. They dress up.
Now, this is more of like a behind the scenes kind of question, but when you were coming over to Major League Rugby, knowing that the Olympics essentially could be an area for you to go perform, if you will, to play, like in the NHL, they don't allow that. They don't have, like, within the contracts, they don't allow players to go to the Olympics. Yeah. So I was wondering, in rugby, is there like a small little line there? They're like, hey, you can if you get called.
Yeah, I'm not too sure. I'm not too sure, actually. I suppose it's more, I don't know. I suppose you can probably put that in your contract. There'd be no doubt you can get stuff put in there. But I think, it's all about the owners of the brand, of the team, and giving you permission, I think. I'm not too sure how it works, but because I think there has been, in the past, there's been people that have, you know, stopped their contract to go overseas or chase something. But yeah, I don't know. Like I said before, I just wanted to focus on 15s first and then see what happens down the line.
Yeah. So Harrison, I get the impression that you're going to be in LA for more than one season. Is that right?
It's a pretty good city to live in. Yeah, I've only signed a 1 year at the start, so we'll give it a couple more months and weigh up my options. But yeah, it's the brand, LA Giltani, is building pretty good squad, some good staff, and our HQ is nearly built, and it's shaping pretty nicely. So I don't know. I definitely just want to go to a place where I'm happy and enjoying my footy, and it's definitely doing that so far. So yeah, like I said, I just got to weigh up all the options and see what happens down the line. But yeah, it's been a pretty good experience so far.
Yeah, good.
Selfishly, I hope Toronto throws you an offer.
Yeah, I've got a good mate there at Toronto, the 5'8", Taylor Adams. He's loving it. He's been there for about 2 years now. He said it's an awesome city. It's one city I've always wanted to go to as well. It's a pretty cool city too. So I said it's a bit like Sydney, is it? It's a bit like Sydney?
A little bit. I mean, it is a financial center, definitely.
Yeah.
So it has a little bit of that going on. But I really think it's a lot like, it has elements of Sydney and also elements of Melbourne.
Yeah.
You played in Melbourne. Melbourne's got that cosmopolitan vibe. You got like each suburb has its own identity. I feel like Toronto's a bit like that as well, the different neighborhoods.
Yeah.
You got Little Italy and Little Portugal, and it all comes together in one big city. And
okay.
Everyone's surprisingly pretty friendly. For a city of 6 million, you don't see people getting too aggro. So it's a good place, to live.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Especially if you like poutine.
Have you heard of poutine?
No, what's that?
Right, so cheese curds, I'm pretty sure cheese curds are banned in Australia. You can't get them because of quarantine and the restrictions. But poutine is like, it's fries, gravy, and cheese curds.
Okay.
It's not like a halal snack pack. I know it sounds a little bit like a HSP, but this is different, and it's another level. I like HSPs, by the way, but poutine is like, it's heaven on a plate.
Yeah.
In the same way that rugby is a game played in heaven, poutine is the food they eat in heaven while they watch rugby or something.
Okay. Any sauce on there, or?
The gravy takes care of the sauce and kind of gives it some texture. But
like garlic?
No garlic.
See, I'm thinking of HSP now. That's why.
Right. But yeah, it's the base is those three ingredients, fries, gravy, and cheese. And then you add like a protein as well if you want to add a bit more kick, like pulled pork or bacon or something like that.
Yeah, right.
There's also like vegetarian options. So it's like they have different types of cheese thrown on it. They'll have green onions, some peppers in it. You can get really weird with it, but it's my favorite dish.
I'll have to try it.
That and beaver tails.
So, mate, I mean, you're relatively young. You're younger than the two of us. But what are some words of advice you'd pass on to kids that want to get into the game, particularly in North America and other parts of the world?
Rugby, yeah. Probably rugby is not a sport they watch or grow up in. I suppose it's sort of similar to football or NFL. So I think for me, like growing up, I sort of tried everything. Like, just don't be afraid to try stuff. Like, I loved playing every sport I could, cricket, golf, all the games. So I think if you want to explore different games, I think you'll fall in love with a couple of them. And for me, I think just working hard, you're young, like you're strong, you're fit, like you just don't want to stop. I think you've got to create a good work ethic if it's something you love. So I suppose being rugby, and I think in the US it's like the fastest growing sport, I think I read. So I think right there says it, like there's so many cool opportunities. Like for me, I'm in Australia now, I'm playing in LA. Like there's different experiences where rugby can lead you. Like it's a world sport. I've got friends playing in Spain, France. So I think just trying different sports if you're young, just not being scared to try new stuff but just being persistent at it. It can lead you to pretty cool things.
Right. And you touched on the game being one of the fastest growing. And Yeah. I think you're right, because it's definitely got a following at college level, men and women.
Yep.
They're all about it, both in the US and in Canada. How important do you think it would be for the game here for rugby to bring the World Cup here, hosting rights?
Yeah. Yeah, I think they've talked, but yeah, it'd be massive, wouldn't it? I'm not too sure if have they done the announcement of the next one?
World Cup? Pretty sure 2023 is in France.
It'd boom, wouldn't it? I think it would go massive after that. I think, yeah. A lot of the boys in the Giltinis set up, the young boys, they've played rugby in college. Some of them, because what's the guy? If you don't make NFL, there's no like club footy after you're 22 or something, isn't it? Is that how it works?
So
there's no club level like Shoot Shield here, isn't there? Like you can't just play NFL.
Not really. No, I mean, so I guess
either you make it or you don't.
When you come out of college, there's the NFL in the US, and then there's also Canadian football, which is, it's a different sport, different rules, but
yeah,
it did come first, and then the Americans kind of borrowed off that. And then there are some leagues, I think, in Europe and in Japan.
Yeah, right. Japan.
There's no grassroots or anything like that, no.
Okay.
Where can we find you on social media, Harrison?
Harrison.j.goddard. I'm on Instagram. No Twitter. Just Instagram.
That makes two of us. Why don't...
I don't know. I'm not a big Twitter man. I've really gotten into it.
Oh. See, Justin? I'm not weird.
I think it's an Aussie thing.
Yeah, it's not very big in Aussie. Not really big.
Yeah, I think it's just more instant reactions to things and less characters. I don't know. I just think it's... Some of the things that you see on Twitter, you know, you post something now and then 5 years later... Someone's digging for dirt on you, so they go to your Twitter and then they bring stuff up. I don't want any part of that. I'm good.
Yeah, it can be dangerous. I think that happened to one of the Argentina players. I think they had something in the past, and you got, there's people out there dig up stuff on you and try and get something on you, and you can lead to trouble. So, no, I'm just on Instagram. I just like to take photos of whatever and just, yeah, be a bit smart about it. These days, you've got to be a bit smarter.
No doubt. Anything that you miss about Australia, apart from your partner?
Probably just all my mates and stuff, I guess, really. Yeah, just mates. And I went for a swim the other day. It's freezing here. I couldn't believe how cold it was. Probably just the water in Australia is so much warmer.
Yeah, yeah.
Every time like we wake up and to go to training, it's always like 30, 40 surfers on Manhattan Beach having a surf at like 6:30. And because I had a swim last week and it was absolutely freezing, and I think I was the only one in budgies. I won't be doing that again. I need to be wearing board shorts. Everyone gives you eyes and stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, probably just like the little bit warmer water.
Yeah, it took some getting used to. I mean, Toronto, we don't really have we're on a lake in Toronto, so it's a bit different. But I've heard about that on the Pacific Coast.
I'm sure it'll warm up. Like when summer comes, I'm sure it'll probably warm up. Because when is summer? It's July, June, July.
Yeah, but LA, it doesn't really get cold, so I feel like you might get some summer weather end of May down there.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
I was going to say, when I was roaming around the streets there for a bit of LA, I went in May, and it was 17 degrees Celsius, which was an anomaly. Like, people were walking around in coats, and the locals were telling me it's usually about 25, 35 in May, so...
Okay. Yeah.
Can only imagine it would be in June, July.
Yeah, I've noticed that nighttime it's been freezing. Like during the day it's been hot, like the sun's really hot, but when it's like 6:30, 7 o'clock, I'm wearing a hoodie, like in my room. Like it's freezing.
What's freezing to you though? Cause I walk around no shirt -5 here.
Really? That's a bit much.
Yeah, he's not really Canadian, but he's from Eastern Canada, like Newfoundland. So that's, they're hardcore out that way.
Okay.
Yeah, we enjoy our cold essentially out there. It's like -5. We're like, oh, throw some shorts on, light up the barbecue.
What, do you swim in the lakes too?
I've done the polar bear dip before, yeah. It's not. It's a great way to wake up. You don't need coffee after that, but you also feel like you can't breathe.
Just jump in, jump out. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You should try it, especially coming from Australia where you're used to the warm. I would love to see you try the polar bear dip.
I don't think I would last.
Oh, literally just 2 seconds in. That's it. Have you ever done an ice bath before after training or anything?
Yeah. I do that. I'm not a fan of them, but yeah.
Yeah, so it's like that.
It is true, but it makes you feel so much better. Like, your body just straight away just feels so much better.
Yeah.
Yeah, I used to do the those ice baths and then run into a sauna and then do that like 4 or 5 times.
Yeah.
So like it shocks your body and tries to get your homeostasis going into overdrive. It's nuts. It does well, but it's a lot of effort and a lot of like emotional scarring I can never get over.
Yeah. I might have to get into a routine where I wake up early and go jump in the beach and then walk back home. It's a good way to start the day. I just got to get used to it.
It is, yeah.
Because back home, I'm not from the beaches. I'm from in the suburbs, so I'm not used to the beaches and that. Like, we'd only go to the beach like in the summer, and so yeah, living like near the beaches, it's cool. I just got to get used to like cold weather and that, cold beaches.
All right, mate. Well, thank you for your time.
No, all good. Thank you for having me on. It's been good. Thanks for having me on.
No worries. All the best with the season.
Yeah, cheers. Keep in touch, eh?
Yeah.
It was a pleasure. Yeah, for sure, yeah.
Hey, thank you for listening to the show. If you like what you're hearing, why not leave a review over at podchaser.com? Not only will you be helping us out as a show as we continue to grow, but for the month of April, Podchaser will actually donate funds to the Meals on Wheels America as they help to feed people in need during these times. It's a win-win for everyone. Head over to podchaser.com.